Hello, everyone. We are going to get started. I need to make sure that my audio is working before we get too far into things because it looks like my audio stream was acting a little crazy. So I just want to make sure that everything is working before I say too much. So I'm just waiting on somebody to come in. Let me get with my group. Is my mic working? Let me make sure that y'all can hear me. All right, somebody's here. Can you just tell me? You can hear me clearly? Great. All right, let's start with some announcements, and then we're going to get into some Q&A. And what we're doing is we are curating the questions that are most frequently being asked right now inside the Facebook group and inside Ask Coaches that are getting repeated over and over and over again to make sure that when we are doing Q&A, we are absolutely making sure that we are coming to you with the most important stuff. So, I'll be answering those in just a minute. I want to just do a few announcements. Tonight's the last night of our Mindful Drinking series. So if you have been doing that, I hope you've loved it. I just adore Coach Angela. She's been a guest of ours this month. She's been killing it. That program will always be available. So if you didn't catch it during the month of January, you can catch it at any time. It's going to be located in your bonus courses. We also have next month, we are starting the new self-love. So we have updated, made it with our best lessons. We pulled some of the self-love camp videos from last year. We included those. We've updated the workbook. We've done all kinds of things. So we are doing that as a group next month. So you will see all the calls. Everything is going to be on the topic of changing that relationship with yourself. Self-care, self-love, self-esteem, anything that has to do with the self, that's what we'll be working on next month because I really, truly believe that when you have an amazing relationship with yourself, everything else becomes exponentially easier. That relationship with yourself is usually what is the hoser on being able to get the things you want out of life in terms of your weight, your body, your goals, your dreams, your promotions, anything that you want. So we will start that. If you look right now underneath the bonus courses, I believe the self-love hub is already up, which means we have a dedicated space where all the videos are. If we do any special trainings, they will be located there so that you will always have them. So check the bonus courses on pnptribe.com. And I think everything is already in your hot little hands for your self-love learning. Also, we are doing something new. I want to explain this because there's a lot of chitter chatter about this. Social media has a new app. It's like, remember when Instagram came out? Everybody's like, what's Instagram? Let me join Instagram. Let me scroll feeds. So you know that on Instagram, I have a public presence. You know, I don't do anything over there other than I post and whatnot. And lots of No BS women follow me over there. And a lot of you engage with me over there. You're sharing my stuff. And sometimes we share your stuff to my story and you're commenting and, you know, journaling and all that kind of stuff. There's a new app called Clubhouse. It's very similar to Facebook, except for this. There's no newsfeed. There's no typing. There's none of that. It's all audio. This is just a free app that the whole world gets. It's by invite only right now. So you have to know someone to get in. They are going to take it and make it mainstream. They're just doing what I think is smart, is they are adding features to a small audience until they get it to where it's working really well. Then they can release it. And so I'm an early adopter to the app. I'm one of the, like, not one of the first. It's been around for a little bit, but I joined a few weeks ago. I really like it. I am on there. So if you are on the Clubhouse app, it would be like if you join it and you follow me, it's no different than if you joined Instagram and you decided to follow me. That's just free stuff. That's nothing for the No BS Woman membership. So I just wanted to clear that up because some of you are just like, oh my God, this is a new app. I barely can keep up over here. It's not a new app for you. Your membership is your membership. And the way that I like to think about it is when you're a No BS woman, one of the reasons why you're here is you want a curated experience for your weight loss. You want a private community. You want the best information. You want to be able to find information that goes with our stuff. That's why you're here on top of the weight loss. So you're not missing out if you're not over there hearing me live speaking on Clubhouse. The other downside to Clubhouse is that it's all live interaction. So if I happen to, like a lot of the stages that I'm on right now, they call them stages. Like right now I'm on stage with all of you on a Facebook Live. So their version, they call it a stage. They call it Facebook Live here. A lot of times when I'm over there, people want me to speak on their stage because they know I fucking know what I'm talking about when it comes to time management, managing your mind. A lot of business stages want to talk to me because I will just tell you, it is really hard to find women who are running businesses. And I'm not saying not within, but like a woman who's legit running a business, who is bringing up other women behind her, who's ready to help other women get their feet off the ground to encourage and motivate. So you may, if you are on Clubhouse, you might see me speak a lot on just shortcuts for business for women so that it doesn't take so fucking long for them. I feel like over there I'm giving like I give to all of you over here in weight loss. You know, my job is what the way I see it is I did it and I did it first. And I want your path to be easier. I do not want you to have to figure all the shit out. I do not want you to have to spend 13 years figuring out how to explain it and understand what you did so that weight never comes back and stuff. I always want to be the curator of your content. So the way that I'm seeing my role over on Clubhouse right now, because I'm in here a lot, is this notebook. I've literally taken about 30 pages of notes in the last week on all of the amazing information that I'm picking up from other authors, leaders in brain hacking, all kinds of stuff. And I'm now curating that for you. I'm not going to give you everything that I'm learning because it's not always directly related to weight loss. But if you notice yesterday, I did a surprise live. It was, I think, 9 minutes, maybe at max. It might have been shorter. And I just gave you guys a rundown of three new to me ways to think about self-care for all of you. So what I want to do is I want to be that person who is, you know, over there, not only getting the word out that there's, because I will just tell you, everybody that I hear speaking on weight loss over there, old fucking shit diet mentality. And I want to change the narrative. And it's a great place for me to be able to do that. And everything that I'm learning and everything that I'm taking in, I promise you will be the beneficiary of. You are going to see quick lives. I am not going to do anything over there that I think will change your life and not make sure you get it somehow over here. So I just want to tell everybody that because when you see the enthusiasm of the Clubhouse app over here, the only people that should join it are the people who already love consuming content all the time. If you don't love doing that, then what you need to do is exactly what we tell you to do. Do no BS. The first thing every no BS woman should be doing is her daily plan. I'm going to say it every single week. If you've got time to be on this Q&A right now and you haven't fucking done your 24-hour plan, get off my Facebook Q&A, sit your ass down for 3 minutes because you got the time. This is your time. And even if you're not on this live, if you are listening to this at 10 o'clock at night and you ain't got a plan for tomorrow and you're likely not to make your plan tomorrow, push pause. Stop consuming information and start doing the information. Every single time you listen to me, I want you to take one nugget and figure out, when am I going to do this? Where on my calendar? Where am I plugging this into my life? Do not just sit back and just listen and wonder why it never happens for you. The difference between people who lose weight and who don't is the people who lose weight, they find one small thing and they put it into action as fast as they possibly can. That's the difference. It may be hearing somebody for the 100th time saying, I stopped eating 2 bites short. Your ass should stop eating 2 bites short today. That's your thing. You don't need elaborate 180s in your eating, and you don't need to sit there and be like, oh my God, but I still got diet mentality. Take your diet mentality with you to the trash can when you scoop off the two bites. Stop waiting for diet mentality to go away. Stop waiting for old shitty to go away. Stop waiting for you to be motivated. Stop waiting for you to have a moment of enlightenment where it's all easy. It's like, no, take your shitty thoughts to the trash can and scoop them in and be like, well, that was hard. And then in 5 minutes, you'll be thinking it wasn't as hard as I thought it was. So I want every single time you listen, you need to make sure. Do I have a 24-hour plan made or not? If I don't, I should pause play. I should push play. I should do it. Even if I think it's not good enough, no matter what, I should write this down every day. If Corinne tells me, this is the crazy thing. Y'all think I'm an expert. Well, act like it. If the expert tells you this is key to weight loss, quit waiting to feel like it. Quit waiting to not be confused. Quit waiting for the day that you would like say, like, well, you know, Corinne, I make it every day, but like I'm not eating it. And then you quit. No, you keep making it every day until you beat your head against the wall so much that you try the one thing that you've been hesitant to do that actually works. That is what you do. So step one, if you don't do anything, make a plan each day. Step two, if you haven't done no BS yet, what the hell are you waiting on? You've got it in your private member podcast as its very own podcast. If you do not have it, please email us at support@pnptribe.com. We are more than happy to help you make sure that you have no BS in your private member podcast player so that you can listen to it as many times as it takes until you are trying things to see what is going to work and in what order. And then once you are done with no BS, guess what? Then you get to do the rest of it. Push play on anything you want. And if you don't know what to push play on, go to Ask Coaches and say, here's what I've done. I'm making my plan every day. It's either working or it's not. I've listened to no BS this many times. I'm unsure what to do next. Here's my biggest problems. If you are making your 24-hour plan every single day and you listen to no BS in its entirety, guess what you know at the end of that? Exactly what to tell a coach is your problem, so a coach can tell you what to do next. But you know what most of you do? You're like, man, I don't like listening to all your shit, Corinne. I don't really know why I'm not doing anything. It's really hard for us to help you if you're not doing anything. Because the first step is literally make this even when you doubt yourself. Make this even when it feels hard. Make this plan no matter what. You have to first override doubt, insecurity, worry that you won't lose weight, talking yourself out of doing. You got to override that. First step is overriding that bullshit version of you. It's just the first step. I cannot make it any more clear for any of you. Not one ounce more clear. And then if you're looking every single day for something to do, I wanted to tell all of you, please drink your water. There is not a woman in here that can honestly tell me that they are going to fail at that. If you have an iPhone, you have access to clean water. You have no excuses after that. If you need to wake up and drink one of these, teach all day, and the second school's over, drink one of these, you're almost there. There are days that's how I do it. I just don't make excuses with water. And here's why it's important. A lot of you are still binge eating. A lot of you are still fuck it eating on the weekend. A lot of you are still overeating. Do you know what the worst thing to do is? To do all of that and wake up the next day dehydrated to boot. Because when you're overeating, you cannot afford to be dehydrated. Your body has to work extra hard and it's going to slow down everything in order to do it. That means it's going to slow down fat burning. It's going to slow down brain cognition. It's going to make it harder and harder for you to use your reasoning brain the next day to not shame yourself. It's going to make it harder and harder you for the next day to use your reasoning brain to get back on track, to do a 24-hour plan, even though you feel like it's not good enough. Cannot afford to be dehydrated, y'all. It is a basic for a reason, not because it's bullshit, but because it's important and vital. So if every day you're having a hard time implementing something, get your water down. Especially if you're still overeating and stuff, you need it even more than you think you do. And speaking of, this bitch is thirsty. And so speaking of the Clubhouse, that was kind of a rant. On Friday morning, I will be live in Clubhouse at 7:30 a.m. Central Time. So if you are on Clubhouse and you want to follow me, it's at Corinne, C-O-R-I-N-N-E, Crabtree, C-R-A-B-T-R-E-E. You can follow me over there. Turn the alarm bell on to always. That means if I'm ever on a stage, you'll get pinged that, hey, Corinne's talking. Hey, Corinne's talking. I just want to warn you, between 5 and 7 a.m. and late at night, I am on a lot. That is the times that I'm mostly on because I am learning all about everything that I can in terms of mind hacks. I am doing a lot of, I'm meeting up with a lot of people who want help, females in particular, who want help with, you know, starting their business, starting their coaching practice, because I just think that as someone who is successful now, I owe it to the next person who she has her own group of people that she wants to change their life, and her group of people don't need to wait on me to give her shortcuts. If I'm going to change women's lives, I have to do it at scale. That's the way I feel. Like, I am just not happy with just changing weight loss lives now. It's like women need a leg up, and I want to be able to be that person. And there's so many men on Clubhouse right now that we need more women strong voices over there. So follow me, tell your friends that they can follow me. If you add people, so like, hey, make sure you follow my mentor, Corinne. And that's the last thing I'll say about that. The best call of the week is my Saturday morning call, y'all. 10 a.m. Central Time on Zoom. It's my normal Saturday call. We're going to talk about something that a lot of you ask about. We have been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. We're going to talk about the difference between restriction and a special diet. They are different. A lot of you will say, I have this special diet that I have to go on that's very restrictive. Just a thought. And it's a shitty one. So we are going to talk about, for all of you that need special diets or that entertain the idea of a special diet or whatever, we're going to talk about them and the difference between feeling restricted and doing it from place of compassion. And how do you get there and how do you talk about it? This is probably one of the most requested calls that we have had in a long time. And so we're going to do it so that we can answer y'all's questions. All right. Question number one for the day. I've already answered. Well, I know all the things and have been a member since 2019, and I haven't done one thing. I've already told everybody exactly what to do. Why can't I find it in me to start? What is it going to take? This is the reason why. This is really important. Please hear me. The whole May camp is going to be about all the different forms of self-sabotage. This is one of them. When you are having a hard time starting, it is literally because you need to take some time to write down, what am I afraid of? Because if you're not afraid, even though we intellectually know that it's like, all we really have to do is stop eating at enough until we get it right. Just figure that part out. We only have to wait until we're hungry. Like when you hear the four basics, they are not hard. What makes them hard to do is the diet mentality that comes in with it. And a lot of us experience what's called little T trauma all of our lives. I call it post-diet trauma. Little T, so there's big T trauma, which is when someone has been, you know, like maybe they've been raped or they've been physically abused. There's like what's called big T traumas that happen in our life. Little T traumas are smaller versions of it. And dieting often falls into the little T trauma where we've been on so many diets where it required us to starve. It required us to be overly hungry. We did have to cut out all the foods we love, and we had to over-exercise and do a strict regimen. And while we were doing it, we were a bitch to our family. They didn't like it. While we were doing it, we were always exhausted. We were losing weight, but it's like you were losing weight. We're happy we're losing weight, but the price tag was severe. And what it does is it creates this lingering trauma in our brains. So what you do is you're having a hard time starting. It's because even if my shit seems doable, sensible, and common sense, the little T trauma is going on in the background. It's like, I know, but you're not the person who can do all that. Now, she says you can eat whatever you want, but remember when the only way we really have ever lost weight really good was when we did all of that restrictive bullshit where you just ate green beans, a chicken breast, and on a fun day, you got ketchup. Like, that is your brain's unconscious narrative that's going on. So you got to find that. So one of the best questions to do, there's no workbook for this week's call, y'all. One of the best things to do is to write about, all right, what am I afraid of? If I just start doing the things that Corinne says, if I literally just today, I'm going to drink all the water. And today I am going to make sure that before I eat, I will at least ask myself, am I hungry? If I'm hungry or I think I'm hungry, green light. If I don't think I'm hungry, or I'm questioning if I'm hungry, or if I know I'm not hungry, I'm going to wait 15 minutes and drink some water. And then I just get to eat. Like, what are you afraid of if you just start that? I guarantee you, as simple as that sounds, a lot of you haven't even started that step yet. And it's not because it's hard. It's super simple. It's because your brain will be like, well, now, that's not good enough. I mean, you got like four whole basics. If you're not doing all of them, something's wrong with, like, you're just a loser. You should be blah, blah, blah. That's why you don't start. That conversation is the grinding halt one. So you've got to be aware of what you're afraid of. I'm afraid that won't be enough. I'm afraid that it won't work for me. All of that is just self-sabotage. And you just want to tell yourself, it's understandable that I'm afraid, and it's understandable that I'm having these thoughts. When you see them all on paper and you just tell yourself, I'm going to do it anyway because I'm tired of sitting around being frustrated with myself. I'd rather be afraid than to be sitting around, second guessing, frustrating, consuming information and not doing anything with it. I'm really done with that part. I'm at least willing to try and reach out and ask for help. That's the conversation that has to go on. Everybody keeps asking me about the flowers behind me. Yes, they are the Fleurs, whatever. They were a gift at Christmas from a group of there's a women of color in the life coach school where I trained. I did a call for them to help them with their business right before Christmas, and they sent me those, and it was very sweet. So I love them. I would, like, seriously, it was so funny when they gave them to me because I'd been looking at them online forever and I would never buy them for myself and everything. And they sent it. And I've immediately emailed, and Brig is one of our members too. She happens to be a member also. I messaged her and I was just like, thank you so much. You don't know how long I've been looking at them. It was like, it was even a better Christmas gift than what Krabby gave me. So there you go. Why isn't weight loss happening faster? I've been doing all the things since January 5th, and I've only lost a half a pound. What am I doing wrong? I have no idea. This is what y'all need to do. Rather than asking me what you're doing wrong, and you just tell me all the things. I don't know what all the things mean at all. Your brain is like, well, I see so many other people who've lost more weight in here. You don't know what all the things for them are either. You're comparing two things you don't know what are. That is like a complete waste of your time. It doesn't matter if somebody else is having success. It more matters about, like, if you've only lost a half a pound since January 5th and you want to lose more, you need to look at your data and you need to ask yourself, am I doing all the things? Because this is a lot of times what I think y'all have to define what all the things means. Making a 24-hour plan every day, asking, am I hungry? Seeing if you're stopping at enough, that's not all the things. If you're making a 24-hour plan every day and you're 100% compliant and you've never ate when you're not hungry, you've had zero overeats, all the water, all the sleep is dialed, that is considered 100%. But I think a lot of times what you guys do is y'all call all the things doing stuff, but having discovery worksheets and having overeats and having all this stuff. You have to stop saying I'm doing all the things. It's like, I'm taking action and I'm finding out which things I need to dial in and focus on. It's a way better way to think about it. I venture to guess that 99 out of 100 Nobius women who say they're doing all the things aren't. And let me tell you why I know this. I am one of the 99. It is rare that Corinne has a week where all the things got done. It's rare. That's why I know that you guys have got to quit thinking I'm doing all the things. It's not a helpful thought. The most helpful thought you've got is, I've got data that will tell me the percentages of the things that I'm doing well and the percentages of the things I'm doing like not as good as I could be. So use your habit trackers. Find your percentages. Whatever's the lowest, work on how this week you can improve it by 10, 20%. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to have no discovery worksheets this week? And I don't mean just by not doing them. That's the way that we want to think about it. You want to break it down by the numbers. The way that I would do it if I was all of you is I would use my habit tracker. The lowest one, the next week, maniacal focus. Every day, right inside your planner, every action you could take to get dialed and focused. No matter what it is, like come up with 10 ideas that you could try for the week to see if you can get yourself a 10 to 20% bump in that one basic, in that one thing on your habit tracker. And if you're going to do that, one of the best ways to crowdsource some ideas is to post in Facebook to say, hey, this week I got X percent on my habit tracker for stopping at enough. I want to collect as many ideas as I can to try this week to see if I can like make sure that I'm hitting it 100% this week. And that's all you work on. Everything else, you just want to do the same that you were doing. You just keep making your plan. You keep doing all that other stuff. You don't try to raise all the numbers. You want to figure out the one that's the lowest and you want to get serious on that. And then as you get some traction there, you should start seeing some more progress. Then the next week, you just go to the next one. You do the same thing. You just rinse and repeat. You just keep watching your habit tracker, calculate your percentages, go really hard on one, crowdsource some ideas, and you don't move off of one until you've improved one 10 to 20%. The nice thing about doing it that way is that every single time you do that, you prove to yourself that you can level up an area. You start learning how to try things without apology. You start learning how to try things you increase your capacity to be able to make mistakes, figure things out, to keep going, to not quit, to turn off shame. You increase your capacity in all of that by tackling it that way. When I change a really negative thought to a neutral one or even a positive one, it feels purposely deceptive. Why do I want to deceive myself? It's interesting. I would just tell myself I'm not deceiving myself. I'm creating a new perspective. That just sounds like you just need to change your thought about what you're doing. The way that I always think about thoughts is this. Most every thought that I'm ever going to have is going to feel true to some degree. It's always going to feel true to some degree. That just doesn't make it true. It just means that I have one perception of this thing happening. It feels very true. So what I would like to do is I'd like to create a different perception, knowing that it could be true also. That right there is like thought work on, like, it's like thought work for dummies. A lot of you think you need to like go all in on a new thought and automatically have it and change all this stuff. We would spend so much time and energy over there when it's usually just like, I'm just going to accept that everything that I think has some level of truth to it because it feels true to me. It just doesn't make it true. It just makes it my perception of this thing. And that's okay. I have a perception. Then if I want to start working on not believing that for myself, all I got to do is say like, what else could be true too? I mean, it's equally as true that it could be this. I don't have to believe that right now. I don't even have to think that automatically, but I can at least train my brain to know that every single thing that comes through my own doesn't automatically mean go forth and believe, which is what most of us do. We just run on autopilot all the time with any shitty thought that we have. That's it. So I would just change my outlook on what you're doing. It's not that you're trying to deceive yourself. You're just trying to offer up to yourself. There's always a different perspective. No matter how much I believe something, no matter how painful it is to me and how real it feels, there is always a different way to think about it. And the way I know is because somebody else in my ass position could be thinking something different. And that doesn't mean I have to right now, but I always want the door open to the possibility that if I'm thinking something really painful, that it doesn't have to be true forever. That is a gift we give ourselves. I don't have time to sit around and write all day like planning and assessing and journaling worksheets. I barely have time to hear a replay. Well, look, I get off a replay. You got more time than you think. If you got time for a replay, you got time to plan. I don't know who the fuck in here ain't got 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Whoever you are, I'd like to know who you are. Seriously, if you literally don't have 3 minutes a day to yourself, you got bigger problems than your weight. Way bigger in your life. That's all I got to say about that. Y'all quit bitching about not having enough time. When you say, I don't have enough time to do this, say, I don't have enough time for my dreams and goals. Just be really honest. Don't sit there and lie to yourself. Every person in this group, every single one of you, has got 3 minutes a day to put you on your agenda. If I'll give you all a tip. I bet every one of you takes a shit most every single day. Put your planner in the bathroom. Write that mess while you're on the toilet rather than doing this. This is what most people are doing. I ain't got no time, Corinne. I'm on my phone. On the potty, just scrolling, and you end up sitting there 5 minutes instead of the 1.5 you needed to take a piss. People got time. Y'all quit acting like you don't. If you don't want to take your planner to the bathroom, get your notes out. Get out notes. Type out breakfast, lunch, and dinner, make you a template every day, copy and paste that bitch to a new note, type it in while you go to the bathroom. You got you a 24-hour plan. Those who won't, do. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't got a ounce of pity for anybody who wants to come to me and say, I have decided I do not have time for my dreams and my goals. That is not what being an OBS woman is all about. An OBS woman says, I will find the 30 seconds I need to get me back on my schedule. I am never going to talk about myself or allow any of you to talk to yourselves as if your life is so out of control that you can't find 30 seconds to 4 minutes to figure out how to feel better, eat better, and plan your life so that you got a better one. Don't ask me to do that. You'll never win that argument. And I am not joking when I say, if you literally are an ER doctor working the front lines of the COVID and you've got a phone, if you can get a piss break, I would invite you to create that template one day and the next day, start putting down a commitment to yourself. How can I show up for me today in the smallest of the moments? Where are the small moments that are getting away from me where I can be there for myself? That is such a better line of thinking than sitting around and stating it like it's the news that I have no time. I don't have time for this. You never will if you keep thinking that way until you start thinking, I'm going to make some time even if it's 30 seconds. I'll start small. I'm willing to start where I'm at. I'm willing to prove to myself that I can find 30 seconds a day that I deem Corinne time. One of us will get to our dreams because we're figuring it out. One of us won't. What do those of us do that don't have time to do all the things? I just talked about it. I'm so busy. Please stop talking about that, y'all. For fuck's sake, everybody take a moment. If you're listening to this, close your eyes and think, I'm so busy. Now, when I ask you how it feels, I'm 100% sure that the majority of you are going to be like, true. But how does it also feel? Probably overwhelming. Probably tiring. Probably like shit. There's no upside to repeating like it's the Bible or the gospel. What are y'all, a bunch of apostles trying to convert everybody to your busyness? I don't want your busy doctrine. It's not helpful. If it brings you down, it is something that you say over and over again that's not helping you live or create the life you want. It's like throwing up the roadblock to progress. Thinking I'm so busy, yes, it will sound true. But you need to start thinking something more like, I'm determined to figure this out. If rather than just telling everybody, I'm so busy, just say like, you know, I'm figuring out shit. I'm figuring out how to make time for little things. I'm figuring out how to get me back on my own schedule. That at least sounds like you're going to try to do something. When you're so busy, you just shut it down. Your own brain is no longer looking for information. Do not forget, your brain has the reticular activation system. That means that whatever you tell it over and over and over again, it's like, oh, you're so busy. It will show you everything that's in your path that gets in the way. You know what it doesn't show you? That 5 minutes you stood in line at the grocery store staring at magazines, scrolling on Facebook for an extra 3 minutes. Because you are waiting on a Zoom meeting to start. It doesn't show you any of these small micro moments that you could do something for yourself. Could you imagine if you just always had your plan right there next to you, wherever you work, and then when some asshole's late for a Zoom meeting, you'd be like, oh, it's a perfect time to write down a couple of thoughts. Right now, I'm thinking this asshole's late and my day's going to be ruined. Do I really want to show up to the meeting like that? Or do I want to think this person's late? I will not let this ruin the rest of my day. Thought work. I did it in under 20 seconds. You want to make time? You'll make time. You know how you'll make time? I never think I'm busy. You know what I always think? There's probably a lot of time every single day that I can optimize, that I can maximize, that I could do a little quick something in. You know what? Guess what? I get a lot done. And it's not because I'm so good at things. It's because I've untrained the busy talk in my brain. And if you don't want no BS to take up so much of your time, quit thinking it takes a lot of your time. A lot of y'all think more about no BS than the time it actually takes. We give you a private member podcast. Listen to 2 to 3 minutes at a time. You do not listen to an hour. Just because something is an hour doesn't mean you got to listen to the hour. I've been listening to I belong to another membership where they have a private member podcast. This is this 3-hour call. I have literally been listening to it for 3 weeks. I put my earbuds in, and when I'm blowing my hair dry, guess what? I'm listening to the call. When I'm putting my makeup on, I'm listening to the call. When I'm in the shower, I'm listening to the call. I'm chunking it out in little spurts I have learned so much. You know what the nice thing about listening thing in little spurts is? You hear nuggets. When you're listening to long play things, guess what you end up doing? Tuning out, doing something else. You're not really hearing anything. Short bites. There's just no one way to do all of this, guys. All right. I usually mess up on Fridays after weigh-ins. I've tried planning the exception stuff like going out and family meals. Should I change the day I weigh into Sunday to keep myself accountable? That's not going to keep you accountable. You know, if you change your weigh-in to Sunday, you know what's going to keep you accountable? Your thoughts are going to change on Friday. I have to weigh in on Sunday. That's what keeps you accountable. I want a good weigh-in on Sunday. That's what would keep you accountable. It's never the action, guys. Never. The action is never what does your results for you. It's the thinking behind all of it. I would ask myself, what am I thinking? We have a ton of weekend calls. Make sure you listen to them. I've talked about this stuff a lot. One of the things I would do is notice, what do I think on Friday when I weigh in that's different than what I'm thinking on Thursday when I haven't? And use that thought. And when your old one comes up, because probably what's happening on Friday is you're like thinking, I got a wee. You have a thought that lets the foot off the gas. You're going to need to combat the thought. When it comes up, you're going to need to tell yourself, like, I just weighed in. I bet I could eat. There's plenty of time to make it up for it. And all of a sudden, you're going to be like, and I also know that that's how I've always thought. And today I'm going to be thinking this. And tonight, it's probably going to feel harder than usual. Because I'm used to giving in. I'm probably going to have a lot of urges. So as my brain wants to eat and everything, I'm going to need to remember when it's uncomfortable and stuff to think these things, to move myself in this direction. I need to plan all of that and have that conversation. I do a plan in the morning. One day a week, I have a really hard day at work and I come home absolutely exhausted. I can't seem to stick to my plan when I can't think straight because of exhaustion. What are some strategies to help me stay on plan on these days? I would make sure that you write, this is how I would do this, to be honest. If you know this is a pattern, I would have what's called the exhaustion day protocol. It is the backup plan so that if you know one day a week this happens to you, I would just say, like, on this day, this is what I eat now. That feels like you would choose it. So it gets you into the habit of not just breaking your plan and blaming it on exhaustion, because the exhaustion isn't what's causing you to overeat. It's a thought that you deserve it or I'm too tired. It's like not allowing yourself to understand. It's like, I am really tired. I was a badass all day. That's why I'm going to eat like a badass now. You're probably thinking something along the lines of, I'm exhausted. I'm too tired. I can't handle this. There's no badass talk going on there. It's like you're not praising, like you're coming home exhausted. How much time are you spending like rewarding yourself mentally for like, hell yeah, I came home exhausted today. It's because I'm a fucking baller. And then listing everything you accomplished for the day. Like I did this, I did this, I did this. And your brain is like, hell yeah, you did a lot today. Good for you. Like, if you're doing that and you're thinking about all that, what most of us do is just like, I'm so tired. I wish these days didn't happen. Like, it was just rough on me. Like, we just get into a pity party mode. And then we wonder why we want to feed ourselves. It's like, well, your brain is smart enough to know. It's like, well, if you're not going to reward yourself for showing up amazingly, you should just do it with food. That's how you should do it. We miss out on so many opportunities to talk to ourselves like, amazing. If I end the day really tired, I usually just tell myself, girl, you showed up today. Not many people would. Like this last week, I bet I've worked 12, 15 hours a day. I'm not going to bed exhausted thinking like, poor pitiful me. You know what I've been thinking? You are showing up like a boss. I got a whole notebook of things that I've learned to help people's lives changed. A lot of times I just tell myself, this is short term. You might as well right now work all you can because you're learning so many good things. Like, I just talk to myself like that. I just don't allow myself to talk to myself like a victim. If I'm going to show up, I'm going to show up like the hero. I'm not going to show up and then play the victim card. it does not serve me, and it never serves any of you. And then I always have a backup protocol too. When, on the days when I've gone hard, y'all know I got stuff I love to have. Like I keep quest bars, the birthday cake quest card bars are the best ever. We keep those in the house. Weight Watchers pizza, my dry ass Weight Watchers pizzas. I'm on a kick now with the Lean Cuisine French bread version with pepperoni. It was spinach and mushroom forever. Now it's that one. But I keep that stuff like that around so that I'm like, you know what? On this day, this is what I want to eat. I want to have Weight Watchers pizza and a quest bar. That's what I want I want pizza and a quest bar for dinner. I don't want a big fat salad. I don't want this other stuff. And that's fine by me. Y'all get to make this whatever you want. You know what I love about it? I get to decide what I want. I feel like I've cared for myself ahead of time. I've made decisions for me. And I know that I can keep my weight off for good with that kind of behavior and that kind of thinking. How do you stop answering your own counseling questioning when you have a history of counseling others? I know you have your own coach. Letting go of control and thinking you have all the answers and being open to suggestions seems so difficult. I think it's because I never sit around and think I have all the answers. I think when it comes to other people, this is how I like to think about it for the counselor. When it comes to other people, I'm not in their emotional drama. I'm not feeling their feelings for them. No matter how empathetic I am, I'm literally looking at their life and looking at it like, I wonder if she could think about it like this. I wonder what questions I could ask to help her get to the point where she sees she has her own inner wisdom to change her perspective. Like, I'm always looking at somebody else from that perspective. That is not how I look at me. Like, when I have a thought, it has a chemical cocktail. It automatically is going to make me feel. It's automatically going to feel true. So I don't sit there and think I have all the answers for me. I just think I want somebody else to look at my brain and look at what I say. I want that objective reality. I want someone to say, that's a thought. It's a no. I want that. I don't get defensive about it because I don't think I'm wrong or they're wrong or I shouldn't be thinking those things or I should know better. I never think I should know better. You know what I always think? I'm just like the rest of the humans. Shit I think feels real true. Like, seriously, you know how I ding you guys all the time? Like, you know that's a thought, right? I'm just like y'all. My shit feels real. That's the beauty of being a human. So that's how I get over it. They're actually Lean Cuisine pizzas. I've called them dry ass Weight Watcher pizzas forever, but I didn't even know this. But after a while, I figured out. I was like, oh, hell, Weight Watchers don't even make my favorite pizza. They're Lean Cuisine. But I called it that for so long, it's hard to break the habit. So it's the French bread, Lean Cuisine, pepperoni. That's one of my jams. And then it's the Lean Cuisine. I think it's called deep dish mushroom and spinach one. Those two. And this is the way I eat them. I eat sandwiches the same way. When I eat anything that's like a sandwich, I eat all the toppings first. And I eat the bread last. I have been doing that since I was a little girl. Like, I'm just weird that way. So if you want to know how I actually eat the pizzas, I get a fork, I get all the cheese and all the meat. I do all of that first, and then I eat the bread. And I do the same thing with sandwiches. You'll watch me. I will eat everything on the inside, and then I eat one side of the bun and the other side of the bun. I have been doing that since I was like 4 years old. Before we were all afraid of carbs, I was already being the one that pulls their sandwiches apart. I would like to level up my food choices when dining out. I believe I'm ready and willing, but also feel a bit nervous and uncertain. Ariel, that's normal. It's normal. Like, when you are ready to level up, there's a little bit of like, ooh, I think I'm ready and stuff. There's also that little bit of you that's just like, ooh, are we sure? That's fine. That's when you go. You just like, of course I'm going to be a little nervous and a little uncertain. You haven't tried it yet. That's the only reason why it's there, and that's fine. Don't worry about that voice. Any tips or thoughts that I can roll through when my brain's freaking out? Just what I told you. Just tell yourself it's very normal to have this experience. It's just my thinking. But I'm going to try it anyway. I'm going to see what happens. That's all I would do. I wouldn't make it a bigger deal than it is. I've been doing really great with doing my 24-hour plan and assessment. I'm working this month on dialing in my enough. Is it better to remove 2 bites before I eat it or do it at the end and listen to all the thoughts? You can do it either way. You could do 1 week where you remove them first, and then the next week you could do the second part, listen to the thoughts. There's no right or wrong here. I would just try things and just be like, I'm just going to try some stuff, see which ones work, see which ones I do better at, which one do I get more consistency with, and whichever one you do, that's the one I would do. I am working on identifying old chitties. Hello, old chitty. But my old chitties are super sneaky. Can you speak how to identify them when you are fooled by them normally? The journaling. So making sure that each day that you're writing. Sometimes we'll hear old chitty after we've already experienced it. So I believe Mary Jo is on this call. Remind me today at some point on the leadership team meeting. I want to go to the January camp. I believe I explained on stage where we pause our thinking a lot. At some point, I've done that. If not, I'll shoot a quick video on it. But the short of it is that very often when you're changing your old shitty thoughts, we notice first after we've already done it. So we've already taken the action or the do and the think, feel, do cycle. And we're like, we notice we've done it and we've already got the result of that. That's fine. You can always still find the old shitty. Eventually, what ends up happening is that as you track that often enough, the next thing you'll know is you'll catch yourself in action and you'll stop yourself mid-action. The next thing you know, and if you identify the thoughts, the feelings, and the doing, then you'll find yourself suddenly start noticing, you'll start feeling and thinking about doing something. And you'll catch yourself there and you'll get good at pausing at that stage. Then what'll happen is once you get good at being able to pause there and do something else, before you feel it, you'll start hearing old shitty. Once you've wrote it down often enough, and once you've done enough of those think, feel, do cycles in your journal, you'll start hearing old shitty before you even feel the effect of old shitty. And then you'll be able to pause and reroute. So I believe we did that at camp. If we did, Mary Jo, what I'd like to do is edit that really quick and make it a quick hit on just like the flow of changing your thoughts. And if it wasn't at January camp, I believe for sure I did it at October camp. I did it at one of the camps where I was showing kind of how things go. It was, and it may even have been July. I don't know. I know I've explained it so often. You make it all sound so easy. I know you must know it isn't. Any advice on how to make it easier for ourselves? The reason why it is so easy is because I don't have the thoughts you guys are like believing all the time. I had them in the beginning, like it's so hard. Oh my God, I'm never going to be able to lose weight. All of that stuff, I had every ounce of it at 250 pounds. And I started with the first step, which is, I can't afford to think that way anymore. We're going to have to think like this. No, it's not that I can't lose weight. I'm figuring it out. I remember telling myself over and over again, you cannot keep thinking like the old you. You have to start thinking this way. And so every time those thoughts would come in, I would tell myself, no, we're figuring it out. No, we're figuring it out. Every single time an old shitty, I got better and better at identifying them. Guys, at 250 pounds, I was doing this. This is not Corinne is thin now and has amazing thoughts. This is Corinne at 250 knew she couldn't afford to keep thinking like that. And she had to quit waiting for the day that she was going to suddenly get a new brain dropped into her, be highly motivated, never have an old stinking thought again, and then be like, oh, and now it's easy. That is not the way it works. I do not give out lobotomies at this joint. You have got to make sure that at your current state, you are willing to hear it and you're willing to change it. That is the tip. There's no get out of jail free card. We're not going to go and collecting $200. We're going to roll the dice and we're going around the board old school. And that means when you have your old thoughts, you're going to have to change them. You have two options. Change them and increase the odds that you feel better and do better. Whine about them and quit. That's the options. I think you guys have got to quit looking for an easy fix on changing your thinking. It's just going to require sitting around, listening to the bullshit you think, refusing to argue with yourself and saying like, no, I deserve better thoughts than this. And here's what I'm going to think. You don't have to believe them right now, but you damn sure have to quit repeating the old ones without a new argument. Nothing changes with the same old line of thinking. Not a single thing. Let's do one more. I had a big goal to lose 8 pounds in January. I'm down 4 pounds and I'm trying to clean up my thoughts that I'm behind my target to reach my goal. I would just, rather than thinking I'm behind, I would just say like, I'm shooting for 8. I'm at 4. What can I do today to make sure I build good habits? It's like, this is the thing. You need to quit thinking that if you don't lose 8 pounds, you failed. You need to start thinking, at the end of the month, I'll know how much I lost. I bet I've learned a lot. And next month, I get to go again with new knowledge and new habits. That's how I would be thinking about it. Not like, oh my God, I set a goal of 8 pounds. I wonder if I should lower it. The only reason why you would lower it is so that you get to feel good about whatever you lose. Guess what? You don't have to lower your goals to feel good about what you accomplish. You could just end the month and think, I lost, let's say you lose 5. I lost 5 out of the 8 pounds of my goal set. I did all these things. That's amazing. I wonder what I can do next month. Let's go again. If you want to feel accomplished, you don't need a lower goal. You need a thought that feels accomplished. That's it, y'all. Y'all quit trying. I know y'all keep trying to sneak it in on me, but quit trying to sneak it in that the way you feel, it has nothing to do with the way you think. It has everything to do with a chosen thought about something. Perspective, perspective, perspective. I can't say it enough. Please make sure that you have listened to Module 2 of No BS several times. We have a course called Thought Bootcamp. Listen to it. These two, Module 2 of No BS and Thought Bootcamp, are the ones that are teaching you about how think, feel, do cycles work. How we change old shitty, how to quit being impatient with them, how to quit wishing them away. We talk all about it in those two. In March, you guys are getting an entire bonus course on journaling. We're going to start breaking down that argument we have about journaling being hard, not having enough time. Like, we're going to give you all the strategies, all the things around how to make journaling something you actually fucking want to do and how to get traction once you're doing it. Okay. So recap. What is February? It's Valentine's Day. So it's self-love month here at the No BS. So that course is already available for all of you. I want all of you to sit for a moment before I close this. I want you to think about one thing that you got out of today. Just one thing. And then I want you to type into the comments, if you're listening live, and I want you to tell everybody, the one thing I learned is, and today, here's how I'm going to apply it. I want to see all day long, for everybody that watches this video, I want to see people dropping what they learned, their one thing, and you don't get like 20, you get one thing I learned is, and it can be short and sweet, and the way that I'm going to get it done today is, or the way I'm going to apply it is, every single person can do something today that puts them on the path for a better tomorrow. That's weight loss. Weight loss is not about 180s and doing all the things. Weight loss is about consistency and figuring out one thing you're willing to do each day, then every single day finding one thing that you're willing to do each day. It's how I lost weight. It's how I teach you to lose weight. And we ain't going to try no other methods. All right, guys, that's it for today. I will see everybody if you're going to join me for the free public public Clubhouse on Friday. It's 7:30 a.m. Central Time. If you're not on Clubhouse because you're a Droid user or you do not have an invite, no worries. For now, I can do the Clubhouse, which is audio only, and I can run a Facebook Live at the same time. The audio is not perfect for the other people. You'll hear me crystal clear, but you will not hear the audio of the other people as well. We don't have a fix for that right now. We are working on one, but you'll at least get to hear me rant and rave, and I'm the primary speaker. So we are going to simulcast it into the Facebook group, which means that we'll have a recording that we will put in your private member podcast so that you're not missing out. My goal is always curate content for you, streamline, make it easy, and help you as much as I can. Okay. Bye, y'all.